This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Oh my, who are you, little man with gray hair and a quill pen in your hand and sitting on an old wooden stool with a great big heavy volume that says Doctor History?
Good morning, Zeb. How you doing today?
I'm great, my friend.
Good, good. It's been nice to see a little snow come this past week.
Oh, my. Wasn't that something, though, that we had right here in my place, probably pretty close to 9 inches one day, and the next day we had 27 inches of water.
Well, that all soaks in. That's good for the farmers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, now, our favorite program segment, Doctor History and all of his glory, what are you going to inform us about today?
Well, there's a famous Indian chief.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is also associated with jumping out of airplanes.
Parachute?
Yes. Can you guess?
Chief Parachute? I don't remember reading about him.
How about Geronimo?
Oh man, I'm really foggy this morning. I thought, well, Chief Parachute, yes siree. He was quite a chief.
I thought you'd catch that right off the bat. Well, I'm gonna talk about, and this is a story that starts out, I was kidnapped by Geronimo.
Uh-oh.
And so, but I'm going to give you a little background on Geronimo. I mean, he was a legend, you know, in the old frontier. He was the Apache leader, Geronimo. He was born in 1829 in Mexico. He was a naturally gifted hunter, and the story goes that when he was a boy, he actually ate or swallowed the heart of his first kill in order to ensure a life of success on the chase. And being on the run certainly defined Geronimo's way of life, and
mm-hmm.
we'll get into a little bit about that. But he actually belonged to the smallest band within the Chiricahua tribe, and they numbered, you know, only about 8,000. But the Apaches were surrounded by enemies, not just the Mexicans, but other tribes, including the Navajos, the Comanches. And so as he grew up, and their tribe raiding their neighbors was just a part of the Apache life. That's
mm-hmm.
what they did
mm-hmm.
to maintain their way of life. So, but in response, the Mexican government actually put a bounty on Apache Indians, offering as much as $25 for even a child scalp, which, you know, seems a little gruesome. But
it seems more than gruesome, but I got a question for you, oh omnipotent one that knows
okay.
all. How did they tell who was who back in the old days?
As far as scalps?
No, as far as Navajo or Apache or what?
Well, you know, they were very adept at being able to tell, even by the arrows and the dress and a lot of the things like that, as to which tribe they came from.
I see.
And I really can't tell you what those things were, but they could pretty well tell, for example, like Jeremiah Johnson. Or John Johnson, he knew that it was a Crow hunting party
mm-hmm.
that had killed his wife.
I see.
So, but anyway, at the age of 17, Geronimo had already led successful raiding operations. Now, about this time, Geronimo fell in love with a woman. Her name was Alope, and they married, and they had 3 children. And then tragedy struck. While he was out on a trading trip, some Mexican soldiers attacked his camp, and anyway, the word came back to these Apache men. They quietly came back that night, and Geronimo returned home, where he found his wife, his mother, and 3 children all dead.
Mm.
And this is kind of what kicked him off into it really obviously affected him pretty bad. But
absolutely.
Now, I'm going to tell this story in first person because that's the way it is written and written down by the guy that this happened to. So I'm going to be saying this in the first person, all right?
Okay.
Okay, this young boy, he says, I was herding my father's calves in Mexico, and I was snatched from the prairie grass and thrust in front of Geronimo on his spotted pony. He said, it all happened so fast that summer day in 1869 that I did not have time to heed the warning that my mother had given to me. She said, run like the wind when and if you hear a coyote. Do not stop for calves or anything else. Just run for home. Now, he says, I knew that Geronimo could imitate a coyote so well that even a coyote wouldn't know the difference. But this time he fooled me, and when I heard the cawing of the crows, I was not prepared for Geronimo, who had been raiding into Mexico ever since the Mexicans had, again, killed his wife and children. So here he says, I was a boy of 9 years of age. I was a small Indian boy paying for something that the Mexicans did before I was even born. So it said that it was dark without a moon when we rested and ate food that my captor provided, tortillas and frijoles from a tall tin can. I was tired, and I was worried about what my mother would be thinking or doing. My father would be more worried about the 10 calves that would be missing. So obviously his dad wasn't too concerned about the boy. He said there was a breeze, and Geronimo wrapped a red blanket around me. He said, I slept, but I was waking very early and told to hurry as the sun would be hot before long. He says, I choked down another cold tortilla and was helped upon Geronimo's pony again. Well, when daylight came, I was out of my small world into strange country, and I was in the area that is now the state of Arizona. So the sun, and obviously you know what kind of weather there is there. He said the sun was hot. We rested many times. We had plenty of water, plenty of food. He said, I saw the big chief staring at me continuously. Now, if you're a 9-year-old boy, and you hear about Geronimo, and he's staring at you, that could make it a little uneasy.
Well, now, let me interrupt.
Okay.
I'm 66, and if I saw Geronimo staring at me, it would make me very uneasy.
Well, given his reputation, but I think we're going to see a different side of Geronimo right here.
Oh, okay.
So, now, Geronimo went to the boy, and he said, you know, he says, it's difficult to tell the difference among the people of Mexico, he said. There are the Mayas, the Opatayas, and the mixed ones, those with the Spanish in their veins, which, he says, which one are you? And he says, I guess that all Indians know their tribe, and I told him that I was Opatay. And I hope that it was his day to like that particular tribe. And then the great Geronimo did a funny little dance that night, as he had promised me he would, if the moon would shine. Well, there was a campfire, and I listened to the braves tell stories before everybody fell asleep. And he said, I saw many head of cows, calves, and ponies being driven ahead of us, and I tried to make out those of my father, but I couldn't. So again, this was a raiding party. Well, Geronimo shook me gently the next morning, and I knew that we were entering his camp. It was dark. He knew that he was wanted by the soldiers of the United States for his numerous raids. He had been in and out of prison for years, but he was not afraid. This first night, he said, I slept beside him on the red blanket. I heard him say a prayer to the high power. I knew then that he was not bad. He took my hand and told me to not be afraid. This made me feel better, and I slept after saying a prayer myself.
Mm-hmm.
Again, keep in mind, this is just a 9-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So 1 month or so after I had been taken, I was called to the chief. And he began by calling me El Cativo. And I wondered what he wanted with me. Cativo, he said, do you know what embers are? I answered him once, yes, chief, I know what they are. Do you know that in order to be brave and courageous that you must be tried by fire?
Uh-oh.
Okay, so I think you know what's coming.
Yep, somebody's going to have...
I was fearful.
Uh-huh.
And Geronimo said, now you are full of fear, he said, but anger will replace fear after the trial by fire. He says, I did not grasp what he meant as he kept talking to me. When he left me, he patted my arm, and I knew that he liked me. Well, in about 3 days more, after the talk of the embers, I was called to him, and he said, I hate to hurt you, Cativo. He began, but what is about to happen will make a brave man of you. And he tried to smile.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He said, I was joined by about 10 other boys, and now I was about to be tried by fire. I was sick, and I wanted to run anywhere. He said, the sight that confronted me made me quake. I watched the others and saw that they were also afraid. Then we were forced by the Braves to walk on glowing embers of fire. So, you know, you hear about this in modern day, but I don't think it's the same thing.
How in the world can I ever complain about getting up at night in the middle of the dark and stubbing my toe on the end of the bed when this kid had to walk on
embers?
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
I can't believe
it. So he goes on. He says, I shall never forget that terrible day. He said the fire was down in a pit. After several minutes of racing over the inferno, many boys fainted, obviously, from the pain, and these were hurried to the squaws who were waiting with herbs to treat the burns.
Wait a minute. How many times did they have to run across this?
Well, it doesn't say. It says after several minutes, which, you know, I'm thinking 10 seconds would be plenty.
Yeah, but you see, I'm on crutches, and I will guarantee you that if I was forced to walk across a glowing embers, you couldn't catch me, history.
You wouldn't need your crutches. But he said, I was suffering horribly, but I found that I was the only one left who had not fainted.
Oh, boy.
And he said, then I was lifted out by Geronimo and rushed to a woman named Snake Woman, who was a squaw with great powers. And Geronimo told her, he said, ease his pain at once. And by some strange miracle, she did. He says, my feet were dipped in a pottery bowl full of cool liquid, and all pain stopped instantly.
Yeah, but wait a minute. The kid probably couldn't walk for 7 months.
Well, it says, I was never to learn the contents of the dish of the Snake Woman. He said, although I had scars, he said, I suffered little from the burns.
Holy cow.
So, you know, and I'm guessing they probably had aloe vera, and that's just my own guess when they talk about herbs to treat burns.
Well, they do drive up to Idaho Falls and buy some?
Well, you know, down there in Arizona, aloe vera just grows wild.
Holy smokeroli.
So I'm betting that they had a liquid with probably cold water, aloe vera. I'm just guessing. So.
Well, I mean, you take the whole story. I mean, like, you go to Snake Woman and she'll treat you. And Snake Woman, treat me after I've had my feet burned? This whole story is leaving me cold.
Well, and I guess I'm assuming also that Geronimo knew the Snake Woman was the best at treating burns.
Uh-huh.
And obviously that's why he took him to her. So, anyway, after that, he said we were forever hearing talk in Geronimo's camp about the soldiers of the United States. Geronimo warned us several times. He says, I shall be taken away for good one of these days, but between now and then, I shall continue to raid, and raid again. Well, the young boy, he says, I lived as any Apache lived. I was one of them because I had been through the blood brother rite. That's what they called that.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1880, when I was 20 years old, I was with Geronimo when he was taken prisoner. Well, he says, it wasn't long till he was back with us, but again, one of the most wanted of all Indians, and this went on, and he said, I saw him come with wounds that would have killed a lesser man. Well, he was captured several times, but always managed to make his escape. Now, by this time, he says, I was 25 years of age. I found myself in love with an Apache maiden named Katia. Her father liked me, and now that I was a blood brother, and gave her to me gratefully, and he says, I think that the real reason was that Geronimo spoke a good word for me, but 2 days before we were to be husband and wife, she complained of a violent headache. Then she got a high fever. She had one of what he refers to as the white man's illnesses. She was dead in a week.
Oh, my.
And that was the year 1885. He says, I was brokenhearted, and Geronimo comforted me, and of course he could relate. He says, I too lost my, you know, my wife and my kids, and he said, all men suffer in one way or another. Well, he says, I went with Geronimo on his last big raid into Mexico. And at this point, he says, I was full of anger at white men and their fevers and their diseases that we had never heard of before. And he says, I was full of anger at the Mexicans because they had killed the family of Geronimo. So he says, I went with him and helped to avenge my chief. This raid was the last big raid into that country.
Hmm.
Now, by this time, everybody was looking for Geronimo, but he was really not captured until 1886 when, finding himself surrounded, he surrendered to General Miles. Well, by this time, Geronimo was sent to a fort in Oklahoma called Fort Sill, and he states that he was a model prisoner, but And I could go on about Geronimo, but I'm going to finish about the young boy now.
Okay.
He says, something held me to these Apaches. I loved them. They were a good people. I guessed that I would always be among them. I was a member of the Chiricahuas and would always be. But he said, time seemed to go rapidly. I thought of my mother and my father, who hadn't seen them since he was 9 years old. Well, in 1909, when I heard of Geronimo was dead, he said, and Geronimo was 80 years old when he died, even though he hadn't been on the reservation, his presence was always felt. Well, he says, my whole outlook changed. I would return to Sonora, back to the little village where he had come from. He says, I said goodbye to all my brothers, and this was in 1910. I carried with me my scalping knife, Katia's beads, and 3 Indian blankets.
Mm.
Well, he rode into Sonora, and he said, I was tired and worn. He said, the village looked exactly like it was when he had left it, when he was kidnapped when he was 9 years old. He got off his horse drank some water, and he asked an old man, he said, about his parents. Well, the guy said, well, they're over there in that same hogan where you grew up till you were 9. So he rode over there, he stopped and tied up his horse, and he walked into the hogan, and he heard some noise inside, and he walked in, and he said, you know, in Spanish, mi madre, mi padre. And anyway, they walked, they were old now, they had white hair, walked up to him and kissed and hugged him, and they wept and laughed at the same time. And of course, his dad, I thought this was interesting, he said, what happened to my cow?
I knew it.
You know, I thought, hey, aren't you curious about me? You know, and here you were here 15, 20 years later about your darn cow. I thought that was funny. But anyway, he became the captain of the Captain D Policia, which I'm assuming means of this little village, which
sure.
I'm assuming means the police chief of that little village.
Yeah.
So, but he said later, you know, when he'd be around people and they'd talk about Geronimo's last big raid in Mexico, he said he never said anything, but no one ever knew that he was part of that last big raid into Mexico.
Now, how much of this, when you relate this story, do you think has been preserved by truth or enhanced by fiction?
Okay, let me just read this at the beginning. It says, Manuel M., and I'm going to butcher these names, Manuel M. Cahillas, as the grandnephew of the subject of this story, lived near him for many years and knew him well. His uncle, Octavio Cahillas, asked Manuel to write down the story. He did, and it is related here as nearly as possible as Octavio told it.
Oh, my.
Now, so, to me, this is as good as it gets as far as accuracy in what really happened.
Now, Geronimo, when you see pictures of Geronimo, and I've got many of them in my office, as a matter of fact, he was not a very good-looking dude to the point where you even think a smile crossed his face. He looked just absolutely rugged, haggard, and mean.
Oh, yeah, he did. And you know, and he had a rough life. I mean, the United States Army was after him. The Mexican Army was after him. And besides the other tribes that were also after the Apaches, you know, and it was just a life of survival.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Cochise, according to history, wasn't Cochise at the same time with Geronimo, and there was a battle for power as to who really was going to lead the Chiricahuas?
Okay. Cochise was Geronimo's father-in-law.
Ah.
Okay. And like I say, Geronimo's father-in-law, Cochise, he could kind of see where the future was headed. And in an act that kind of greatly disappointed his son-in-law, Geronimo, Cochise actually called a halt to this decade-long war with the Americans. And he actually agreed to the establishment of a reservation for his people on some of the Apache property. But within just a few short years, Cochise died, and the government, as typically happens, they reneged on this agreement.
Right.
And they moved the Chiricahua north so that settlers could move into these the good land.
Now, you remember the television series that depicted the story of Cochise and the reservation and the Indian agent that tried to work it out. Remember the TV series called Broken Arrow?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Remember, that was all about Cochise. And I remember certain excerpts of that, I don't know how close to history they were, to where Cochise and Geronimo had a lot of arguments as to how to treat the white man.
And that's, you know, just what little I've read here, I think that could have definitely taken place to some degree. You know, how much do you argue with your father-in-law?
Yeah, let's not go there.
You know, I mean, you still got to live with the guy. He's your father-in-law.
Yeah.
So, you know, there may have been some disagreements, but...
Well, it sounds to me like the personality of Geronimo, and I think a lot of times in history, regardless of whether it's an Indian story or whether it's a story about mountain men or if it's a story about bank robbers, doesn't make any difference. There was another side to their personalities, kind of like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. There's a good example. They really, when people met them, they liked them.
Yeah. Well, there was a kindness about a lot of these guys. Now, some of them were downright rotten, there's no question.
Yeah.
But some of them were definitely had a, you know, a soft heart, and especially for somebody who was down and out. You know, so you're right. Geronimo, you know, to me, he was a good guy. He was, in a lot of respects, he just was living the life he'd lived for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
From generation to generation.
Wasn't he taken all the way, quickly, I'm almost out of time, but wasn't he taken all the way to Florida, or am I wrong on that?
He died in Fort, let's see, according to my notes, he actually died, I think, at Fort Sill.
In Oklahoma, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And his health was bad, and as I recall, he was thrown off a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And died about 6 days later, but his dying words were, "I should have fought until I was the last man alive."
Yeah.
He said, "I should never have surrendered."
You did it again. Outstanding job, Dr. Ken Turner, better known now all over the globe, in China, Japan, Taiwan, everywhere, as Dr. History. Thank you.
Well, that, I thought that was interesting. I love stories that are, like I said, directly... really accurate as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Dr. Right. History, God bless you, and I want to say thanks. Job well done, and we'll look forward to next Tuesday.
Okay. You have a good day, Zeb.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Dr. History, better known as Dr. Ken Turner, a great chiropractor in Burley, and he does a fantastic job on the Dr. History segment.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.